KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today. There is continued upheaval regarding the 2020 election. Sidney Powell, a member of the President Trump's legal team, has alleged that Democrats had a widespread voter fraud operation on Election Day, saying an audit on all computer systems that played a role is necessary. So-called computer glitches have happened in several states. We have a mail carrier in Pennsylvania saying he was ordered to collect late ballots. An election worker in Detroit signing an affidavit alleging she witnessed widespread election fraud, including her fellow election workers attempting to coach voters to cast ballots for Joe Biden. The Trump administration has filed a lawsuit against the Michigan Secretary of State and Wayne County officials for improper conduct. Today, the president's press secretary announced some 234 pages of affidavits alleging election irregularities in Michigan. Epoch Times reported that tens of thousands of Pennsylvania ballots were returned earlier than their send dates. Today, Senator Lindsey Graham indicates that millions of ballots flowed through the Nevada voting counting machines without the signature verification. In other states, election workers were told to disregard signatures. On and on, these reports are surfacing in many critical states. And depending upon which media you follow, you'll see variance in the electoral vote totals. For instance, Fox shows Biden with 290 electoral votes and President Trump with 217. But over at the Epoch Times, they show 227 electoral votes for Biden, 232 for President Trump. So what's going on here across the nation? Well, here to address these and other matters, we welcome back Alex Newman, an international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, a foreign correspondent, and regular contributor to the New American magazine. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's such an important topic. Very happy to be here with you, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us. The issues are just voluminous, as I just scratched the surface here. And as you know, Alex, they're happening in many different states, many different jurisdictions, and in my mind, I picture this patchwork quilt in the making, where in the very early stages where you got these piles of patches that are all over the place, and this is material stacking up all these different piles. But we're going to ask you, Alex, if you could kind of sew these pieces together for us to help us see what's unfolding in this 2020 presidential election. Help us understand what's going on.
Yeah, again, thank you for having me, Jim. It's such an important topic. I think this is the topic that's going to be at the top of everybody's radar for the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. And what we have here is a clear, unmistakable, and brazenly obvious pattern of voter fraud, massive, systematic voter fraud designed to steal the election on an unprecedented scale. I mean, we've always had voter fraud in America, and we've had plenty of candidates at the state and local and probably even the federal level elected using fraud, but never anything like this. You gave kind of the tip of the iceberg there of all the different cases of fraud that have come out. Just a few minutes before we went live, President Trump tweeted out that there's now reports and evidence that the Dominion voting systems, a crucial manufacturer and company involved in the election process across multiple states and multiple jurisdictions, that is very closely connected with George Soros. In fact, it's run by a Soros minion who serves on the board of Soros' Open Societies Foundation, rigged the vote and took millions of votes from Donald Trump, millions, he said, and provided them to Joe Biden. So what we're seeing here is an effort to really not just steal the election, but I think overthrow our system of government. The Democrats have made very clear that if they get into power, they are going to wage war on their opponents, especially Christians. Biden said his top legislative priority was the Equality Act, which would unleash blatant federal persecution of Christians. They want to pack the courts. They want to turn Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. into states so they can add more Democrat senators so that Republicans would be basically powerless. And they're not kidding. And they know that they can't win using the electoral system. I mean, it was so obvious even before, but we actually warned the New American Magazine months ago that they were going to do exactly what we're seeing now. We called it a color revolution. In fact, very much along the lines of the color revolutions from Eastern Europe. And if they get away with it, I think America as we have known it will cease to exist. At that point, it'll be states and local governments trying to resist and trying to preserve our basic fundamental liberties that come from God. But that's how serious the stakes are. They must be exposed. They must be stopped. I've been tremendously encouraged by how much information has already come out, and that's partly thanks to shows like yours, Jim, and the alternative media and the Internet. But this is a serious crisis in our election. It's a constitutional crisis, and it is a crisis in our civilization. It's an existential threat.
Well, let's talk about this Dominion voting system known as, referred to as the hammer. What do we know about this system? You said it distinctly has Soros' fingerprints on it. His finances are helped, what, bring this about?
Yes, and actually Dominion voting system is run by Lord Malik. He is a British lord, and this is a man who is a very close associate of George Soros. In fact, he serves on his board of directors. So that gives you a sense of how close they are. And just yesterday, I encourage everybody to go over to the New American's social media platforms, or you can find it on our website even better at thenewamerican.com. Just yesterday, we interviewed General McInerney. He was the third highest official at the U.S. Air Force for a long time. And he was working in consultation with Admiral Ace Lyons, one of the highest-ranking Navy officials who has since passed away. But what they said was that there was a massive computer operation that was designed to rig the votes. And he actually walked through the mechanics of it. There was a hammer and a scorecard that were designed to ensure no matter what the actual vote was, Biden would always come out on top. And so this appears to have been used in multiple jurisdictions, including the ones that are so closely contested on which the whole election depends, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and so on. So this is an incredibly serious problem. It's good that Trump is talking about it. It's great that Sidney Powell is talking about it. It's great that the Attorney General of the United States is investigating all of this. But we must be relentless, and we must make sure that we do not give up because, again, the stakes are so high. And I think we really do need independent forensic investigations of every computer system that was used in this election, every computer program, every tabulation system, every counting system. Every line of code needs to be gone through with a fine-tooth comb. Everything needs to be made public, and every computer expert who wants to look at all of this needs to be free to do so.
Yeah, but is there enough time? And this is something people are wondering. Is there enough time to do this? I mean, we have, you know, the requirements as to when the states are certifying votes, when the Electoral College is going to meet, when the winners declare it, et cetera. Is there enough time for this information to come forward?
That's a good question. I think at this point, there probably is not enough time for us to understand exactly the methods that were used, exactly the conspirators involved. But at this point, it is beyond clear that this election was rigged. I mean, it was so brazen. If I didn't know any better, I think they wanted us to know that they were trying to rig the election to foment a civil war or something. I mean, it's just, it was so blatant in your face. Everybody saw it, right? We all went to bed and we saw Trump was way ahead in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, hundreds of thousands of votes. And then during the night while we slept, suddenly hundreds of thousands of votes added in each of those jurisdictions with almost none for Trump. I mean, everybody saw that. It was like they were just flagrantly kind of rubbing in our noses that they were going to steal this election. So at this point, you know, I think the formalities, the technicalities, the minor details, who was involved and exactly how they did it are less important than the fact that we need to get this right.
Yeah.
And so at this point, I think it falls on the Republican legislatures of Wisconsin, of Michigan, of Pennsylvania, of Arizona, of Nevada, of Georgia, of all these states that are in play. All of them have Republican legislatures. They need to do the right thing. They need to use their authority under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution and say we're not sending electors to the Electoral College based on a fraudulent vote. We're sending Trump electors. It's very clear that Trump won the legitimate vote, and so we're going to use our authority as granted to us under the U.S. Constitution and do the right thing and save this republic and ensure election integrity.
I have seen some columns indicating that this voting outcome is a mathematical impossibility for a Biden win. I mean, we've got Kevin McCarthy indicating Republicans won 28 of 29 of the most competitive U.S. House seats, that Republicans did not lose a single House seat. Republicans also took control of three more states and the state legislatures. How could Joe Biden take so many votes with absolutely no coattails?
Yeah, it's one of the many questions here. It just proves that this is a setup. You look, for example, at some of the numbers. You had tens of thousands of ballots that were filled out frantically at the last minute. A lot of these arrived way after the polls had already closed. where only Biden is marked on the ballot.
Right.
Like, if these people had had any sense, and you know, compared to Trump, there was like less than 2,000 of those. So very clearly, something is going on here. And I think the evidence is so overwhelming at this point that, you know, if I'm a legislator in Pennsylvania, if I'm a state senator or a state representative in Arizona, you know, I'm voting to send Republican delegates to the Electoral College. And I've already been in communication with a number of legislators in Pennsylvania and Arizona, and they have said that they are now working on trying to do exactly that. The Constitution not only permits it, but I think demands it. We cannot have a fraudulent election really end the United States as we have known it. It's completely unacceptable. And if necessary, I mean, if they really want to push it, all right, let's have a new election. And this time we'll make sure that there's no fraud in it. Don't give them the time to do it. But it is critical that a fraudulent election not be allowed to stand.
And we've seen the fraudulent charges come through the impeachment, the Russian collusion. There have been many attempts to take down President Trump. Do you see this, Alex, as being just another one of these attempted coup attempts here?
That's exactly what it is, Jim. That's exactly what it is. They've been doing it from the beginning. In fact, early on when President Trump was elected, I went to go visit Roger Stone. He's been one of Trump's closest advisors since the 1980s. In fact, he's the one who told Donald Trump to run. And we had a nice conversation, and on camera, he told me, hey, these people will stop at absolutely nothing to remove President Trump from office and to destroy him. And that was right when the Russia collusion hoax was getting underway. And he said that'll be their preferred method. If they can use this special counsel to remove him, that's what they will do. And then he actually predicted the future, and he predicted it accurately so far. He said if that fails, they will move on to trying to declare him crazy. And that's exactly what they did. I'm sure you remember, Jim. They said, they trotted out like psychiatrists. And they said, oh, Trump is clearly a lunatic, a psychopath. He can't be trusted. He needs to be removed under the 25th Amendment. So it happened. And then he said their plan C, and this is very concerning, he said their plan C would be to do to President Trump what they did to John F. Kennedy. And I think that is something that needs to be taken very seriously. Roger Stone has been in the swamp for decades. In fact, he's worked in four administrations. He helped get Nixon elected. He helped get Reagan elected. He knows the disgusting, vile, dark nature of the political swamp that is Washington, D.C. And this election fraud is simply the latest effort to stop the preservation of the United States, to preserve the globalist system, the liberal world order, as they've started calling it now, and really to collapse the United States, to collapse our economy, to erode our fundamental liberties. And Donald Trump is just a big obstacle in the way. So they will do anything, including, I mean, if they would do all these other things that we've seen over the last 4 years, what makes anybody think they wouldn't try to rig the vote? It's almost self-evident. So.
Alex Newman is with us here today, and folks, we're just seconds from the break, but what is coming forth, I mean, we could go story after story. Pennsylvania Elections Board votes to count thousands of ballots that would normally be considered invalid. Giuliani says 650,000 votes were counted unlawfully in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. We have from Judicial Watch, in 353 U.S. counties, 1.8 million more voters registered than eligible citizens. We're going to pick up this whole matter of the election upheaval following the break. Alex Newman is our guest. The article is appearing at thenewamerican.com. Thenewamerican.com, as they're following so many different angles on this issue. We'll be back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has life been found on meteorites?
No, it hasn't, Chris, even though this fairy tale is continually repeated by my evolutionary colleagues. Microscopic studies of certain meteorites has led them to claim that they have seen hints of past microbial life. But other scientists have studied the same samples and are absolutely convinced that these are really just inorganic crystals or compounds. It's hard to overcome some of these stories once they hit the mainstream press and are repeated over and over again. But the fact is, life has not been found anywhere but on planet Earth, and it's here in abundance, just like we would expect from the Back to Genesis truth of creation.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, I know this issue has been dealt with on so many days here on this program, but folks, there's a lot at stake here as it pertains to this election and what awaits us. There is certainly stories coming from many, many different states from across the nation and things that have been allowed to let go by. The whole aspect of the software and voting machines, Alex, many have wondered even about the so-called computer glitches that happened in a number of states. Is that tied into this hammer software?
It absolutely is. And I think to call them glitches, as the fake media has done, is really dishonest. These aren't glitches. If they were glitches, we would expect, just based on the laws of probability, that half of them would go to Trump and half of them would go to Biden. Instead, what we really observed was all of them went to Biden. Okay,
yeah.
There was instances where you could see on national television they had the vote count up on the screen, and Trump's count was going down as Biden's count was going up. Same exact thing we saw in 2018 in the very closely watched election in Kentucky between Governor Matt Bevin and the now Governor Beshear. So they have been using this technology for a long time. I don't think it's ever been deployed on this broad a scale, but they needed it on this broad a scale. I think the tsunami, the red tsunami for Donald Trump was so massive that without something like this, there's no conceivable way. I mean, they could not have manufactured enough phony ballots. There's an affidavit that in Texas, a former FBI official and a former senior member of the police department there in Houston filed an affidavit in the court there, saying that the political director of Biden's campaign in Texas was caught with 700,000 ballots that were illegally so-called ballot harvesting. Well, you know, no matter all the ballot harvesting, all the fake ballots in the world, I don't think could have overtaken Trump with the massive support that he had. And so I think these computer programs were absolutely critical. Without them, I think it would have been impossible to make it even look close.
Alex, I know you're very well versed in the U.S. Constitution. Can you tell me where in the Constitution it says that the media determines the president?
I'm glad you asked, Jim. The last time I looked at my Constitution, it had no reference to the media determining elections. And I've been saying this right from the very beginning. As soon as the media started crowning President-elect Biden as President-elect Biden, I posted that, nope, sorry, guys, the Electoral College will decide who is president-elect, not the fake media, and that's a good thing. So this process is established firmly in law and in the Constitution. December 14th, the electors chosen by their state legislatures will meet. In most cases, those electors will be chosen based on the vote of the public. But in all these states where it's so obvious that the vote fraud flipped the election, I think there's a real good chance that those state legislatures will end up choosing Trump electors. So they'll meet on December 14th. They will vote, and then those votes will be unveiled in Congress on January 6th. That's when we'll know who the president is. And if there is no clear majority, if neither candidate gets the 270 electors that are needed to become president, the Constitution explains what happens then. You go down to the 12th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and there's a process for that, too. The Congress then is instructed to decide immediately who is the President of the United States. And with Democrats currently in control of the House of Representatives, that sounds a little scary, but there's an interesting twist here. We don't vote based on numbers. We vote based on one vote per state. The majority of states in this union are currently controlled by Republicans and will be controlled by Republicans when the next Congress takes its seats. And so as long as the Republicans stay in line and vote for Trump, Trump has another clear path to the White House.
Alex, I asked that about the media because, we saw media and accused by President Trump's team pertaining to the calling of Arizona and some of their calls for other states as well. But as recent as today, I mean, I just saw a piece on Fox News where they're watching one of the closest congressional races in the country, and this is in Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. You've got a GOP candidate there, Marionette Miller Meeks. She has a 34 vote advantage over the Democratic candidate Rita Hart. And what was appalling to me was the question that the Fox News host asked the GOP candidate. Here's the question from the anchor asking this. You've declared a victory, but Fox News has not called that. AP has not called it. Why do you think you've already won? And I thought, what a question. We haven't called it for you. How can you dare say that you've won this election?
You know, I think one of the best things that is coming out of this fraudulent election is the total discrediting of Fox News.
Yeah.
And I know this hurts for a lot of people because, you know, a lot of kind of mainstream conservatives have looked to Fox as, you know, everybody knows it's been moving more and more in a liberal direction. President Trump has been calling them out for a few years now. But I think there was still a very high degree of trust that at least you would get kind of an honest accounting of what happened from Fox News. And I've warned all along, Fox News is even more dangerous than all the obviously fake media. You know, no Trump supporter is going to watch CNN or believe NBC or ABC or MSNBC. I mean, those are all garbage and everybody knows it. But naive conservatives have naively trusted Fox News. Well, I think after this election is all done, that trust will be completely gone. In fact, it's already happening. There's an exodus of millions of Fox News viewers moving to Newsmax, moving to OAN, moving to other sources. I mean, my dad, he's a mainstream conservative, so I won't watch Fox News ever again. I'm done. So I think this is probably one of the best things that could happen for the Republic. The deep state depends on being able to control and manipulate the narrative, and without Fox News, they're going to lose a very significant portion of the public. That's great news for truth, for liberty, for our Constitution, and for the future of this nation.
And folks, you'll find what Alex just said there, you can verify it. I mean, I've seen the stories about the ratings at Fox News tanking right now since Election Day. They had very high numbers election night, but they have been sliding very fast ever since. Alex, I know you look over the whole world situation as well. You follow the UN and all the things that are going on there and of countries around the world, but I'd like you to also respond here to all the many world leaders that are jumping in, calling to give Joe Biden congratulations. I mean, you've even got Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the UK, who referred to President Trump as the, quote, previous president. We've got a communist China all excited about a potential Biden win. Here's a WND.com story, Muslim Brotherhood terrorist rejoicing over a Biden victory. So give us a world perspective on this, including Iran. I mean, here we have Rouhani saying that the next U.S. administration should make up for Trump's mistakes. You're going to have to make good on all this harm that we've suffered before. So let's give us a world glance as to what's going on here.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are going to end up eating crow. But you're right. Many world leaders have been very, very happy at this news. And, you know, when the mass murdering dictatorships around the world are celebrating your victory, you know that's a little bit problematic. But not all of them have jumped on this bandwagon. I'll give you an example. The president of Mexico has actually said, wait a minute, guys, I don't think it's smart to be congratulating Biden until all of these legal challenges are sorted out. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a wise man. I don't agree with him politically. I grew up in Mexico, and the interesting note, I think the Mexicans actually had much more secure elections than this abomination that we had in 2020. I remember perfectly. Everybody would be walking around with a black thumb because they would have to stick their thumb into a thing of ink so to make sure that they wouldn't vote again, right? And, of course, dead people couldn't vote and all the rest.
Yeah.
But no, the president of Mexico has done the right thing, and all these world leaders who are rejoicing about Biden, I think they're going to have to eat some humble pie as soon as this all sorts its way through the system.
Yeah, and we also have those that are lining up. I mean, there's no quieting down of groups like Black Lives Matters who are telling the Biden campaign, you owe us. We've put you into this position here. You owe us. You're going to have to make good on some promises, and virtually here is our agenda.
Yeah. And you know, I think it was clear even before the election that Biden was basically a Trojan horse for the radical left. And when I talk about the radical left, their connections with the deep state are very obvious. They don't really bother to hide them much anymore. But Biden has been a Trojan horse all along. The fake media has painted him as a moderate. But if you listen closely to what he's been saying, he has been an open advocate of these revolutionary ideas, things that Barack Hussein Obama couldn't have dreamed of saying publicly, and yet Biden has been talking about them openly. And then Kamala Harris, who, you know, I think everybody who looks at Biden recognizes that there's, you know, even if he were to become president, there's a very slim chance that he would make it through the full 4 years. So it's almost guaranteed that if they end up in the White House, Kamala Harris will be doing probably a lot of the governing, setting aside the fact that she is ineligible because both of her parents were non-citizens when she was born. Save that topic for another day. But she has been ranked the most left-wing senator in the U.S. Senate, worse than Bernie Sanders, worse than Elizabeth Warren. That kind of gives you a hint of where she's coming from. And she's also vicious and vindictive. If you look at one of the great examples that I think we could talk about that I think your listeners would be interested in was her ruthless persecution of the young journalist who exposed Planned Parenthood trafficking the body parts of murdered babies.
David DeLayden.
Exactly.
And folks, this just came within the last 2 hours as well from Liberty Counsel and Matt Staver there. They say this, and here's just another point of evidence. Rena, a former Liberty Counsel employee and now law professor, was fraudulently registered to vote as a Democrat in Michigan in the November 3rd election under her maiden name. Her affidavit has now been submitted to the Trump campaign and the U.S. Department of Justice. A registered Republican, Rena lives in Virginia, has been married for many years. A search of the Michigan Voter Information Center revealed that someone registered Rena to vote under her maiden name using the Michigan address of her parents in the town where she lived until she was 17. She was illegally registered to vote under a name that was not existed since 1995 in a town in Michigan where she had never previously registered to vote. They go further in this, but Alex, there is just case after case of the fraud that's being used. Dead people who have been dead for years where they cast votes in this election. People that lived during the Civil War casting votes in this election. It's outrageous what's happening.
It is, and I verified a lot of these things myself for my article, Massive Vote Fraud, as the Deep State Tries a Coup d'Etat. I went to the Michigan Voter Information System on their Department of State, and you can verify, you know, put the names in and the birthdays, and you can find out if these people got absentee ballots and if they voted. And I found multiple examples, and anybody could go try this themselves, multiple examples of people who were supposedly 120 or more years old. Of course, they're not alive anymore. Who had received absentee ballots and who had voted. And then to give you just an inkling of how dishonest these fake fact checkers are, the fake fact checkers rated all of this false. Here's what they did. They called up the Michigan Department of State and they said, hey, all these people are saying dead people voted in your election. Is that true? And the Michigan Department of State said, well, you know, when dead people vote, we don't count their votes after we figure it out. And so the fake fact checker said, that's false. There was no dead people who voted. Actually, they proved that it was true. And yet they claimed it was false. So when you share that on Facebook, Facebook tells everybody you're spreading fake news. This is how dishonest they have become in their effort to overthrow our nation and steal this election.
As you know, there's a great controversy over Joe Biden not receiving national security information at this time. There are many who are saying he should be briefed on national security issues. Some are predicting if unless we start briefing him on national security issues, we're going to have another 9/11 here. What are your thoughts on the matter?
I wouldn't give Biden national security information under any circumstances right now. How could we forget what we found from Hunter Biden's laptop? Joe Biden is the, quote, big guy. Okay, Joe Biden's son was doing business deals with the spy chief of Communist China by his own admission. They've got blackmail on him up the yazoo, some of which has now come out on his laptop involving sexual relations with children. Under no circumstances would I give that man any sensitive intelligence until all of this is sorted out. And even then, I'm amazed that the FBI and Bob Barr have not swept in to arrest some people.
And folks, I mean, NBC is on this, CBS is on this, and they're saying that the concession delay by President Donald Trump could cause another 9/11, trying to build fear in the population here across the nation. The question is, what can I do about this? We're going to be addressing that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." Andrew Jackson said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces." These and over 2,000 other direct quotations revealing the godly heritage of America can now be found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, state constitutions, and court decisions. This reference tool is available for a donation of $22 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk, writing for thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. And there's the print version of the magazine that comes out. Also, there is their email releases that come out on various stories as well. Alex, for those who really want to stay informed, how can they get copies of the magazine? How can they get plugged into this? How can they get the email releases as to the stories that are coming forth?
Well, thank you so much, Jim. So if you go to thenewamerican.com, it's thenewamerican.com. There's a subscribe button there for people who want to subscribe to the print magazine. You'll get two issues every month delivered to your door. Google and Facebook and Twitter can't censor it. And then for those who want daily email updates, we publish many, many articles every day. So we choose the top five or six on a daily basis, and we put that into a daily email. Anybody can subscribe and get that for free. There's no fluff. We're not going to sell your email address list. This is just an effort to keep concerned, God-fearing Americans up to speed on everything that's going on in the world. So,
TheNewAmerican.com, folks, you can check it out. Alex, we see this, and many people just feel helpless. You know, we hear what's going on in Georgia. We hear what's happening in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and feeling rather helpless. And I know you've got action points because the natural question is, what can I do? And number one, we want to say continue to pray. Alex, because as we have long said, that the prayer for this election does not end November 3rd of 2020. So we're going to bring prayer into this, but give us additional ways that people can get engaged.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think prayer is the most important thing that Christians can be doing. You know, God said he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There was just a handful of righteous people there. And I think there's more than a handful of decent folks here in America. So we need to pray that God would give us another reprieve, that he would show mercy on this nation, not because we deserve it. You know, and unfortunately, the blood of 60 million dead children cries out for justice, and we need to recognize that. But we do need to be in prayer over this election, over our leaders, over our state legislatures. As for things, practical action steps that people can take in the political realm, I think the first and most important, and this is especially true if you are in one of the crucial states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, I think North Carolina was officially called for Trump now. But if you're in one of these states that the election is hinging on and where fraud was obvious and blatant, get in touch with your state representative, get in touch with your state senator. Call them, email them, and then set up a meeting. Get together with people from your community, local political organizations, your church, your family, your neighbors, whoever it is. Have a meeting. Explain to them what the Constitution says. So our article on this will be out very soon. A lot of people have been talking about this. In fact, the governor of my state, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, went on Fox News on Laura Ingraham and openly urged people to do this. Get in touch with your legislators. Many of them don't know what the Constitution says. Read Article 2, Section 1 to them. Show them that the legislatures of the states are the ones who decide who will go to the Electoral College. If there was obvious voter fraud, these legislatures have not just the right, but the duty to make sure that a legitimate slate of Trump electors go to the Electoral College. That's, I think, one of the most important things that people could be doing now. And even if you don't live in one of those states, you can write emails, you can pray for these people, you can make phone calls. This is critically important, and time is short. December 14th is when they meet, and the slates of electors need to be decided at least 6 days before that so that there's no question about Congress accepting their credentials. So we have a deadline. We've got a few weeks to get it done. There are already efforts to make it happen. There needs to be massive public pressure on these legislators to get this done. Beyond that, there's several other things. I think bypassing the establishment's narrative is critical. You know, we warned when we warned in September about the color revolution that the deep state was going to try to wage against Trump and the United States, that their control of the narrative was the single most important weapon at their disposal. So we see now psychological warfare from the media trying to terrorize us, trying to convince us that it is inevitable that there will be a Biden presidency. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's baloney. Don't believe it. Turn off the television and share this information with others. Get the podcast. Go to vcyamerica.com/crosstalk. Get this podcast and share it with your friends and with your family and with your neighbors and with the elders at your church. We need all hands on deck for this. Also, you know, the social media, they're trying so hard. In fact, I've been banned on Facebook right now. They shut down my account for 30 days. They didn't tell me why, but it happened right after I posted about election fraud. There is a total war on free speech being waged by Facebook and Twitter. I mean, Twitter's even censoring the President of the United States.
Yes.
And Facebook.
Yeah.
So I think we need a concerted effort to migrate away from these platforms. I don't need Mark Zuckerberg telling me what I can say, how I can say it, when I can say it, who I can say it to, what I can read. I really don't need left-wing progressive totalitarians in Silicon Valley deciding what I can read and what I can say. And there's a lot of alternatives now. I understand there's been an influx of millions of new users to Parler just in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, same deal. They've been deleting our videos right and left. Facebook just put a fact check on our video with General McEnany explaining the computer fraud that was used. So, you know, as you're able, try to migrate over to these other sources for videos. There's BitChute, there's Rumble, there's Brighteon. So we should all be moving over to those other places. And, you know, for many, many years, for decades, people were able to bypass the fake media. We just used different tactics before the Internet was around. Get print copies of The New American and hand them out to people. You know, send emails to your relatives, knock on doors. There's all kinds of ways we can bypass their tyranny. And then last but not least, I do think it's important that we consider all eventualities. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Biden could become the next president of the United States. And if that were to happen, we need to be prepared. And I think this is a really good time for a civics lesson for the American people. We have lots of tools at our disposal. And fortunately, the liberals and the Democrats and the left and the deep state kind of showed us how it was done, right? We had whole states becoming sanctuary states where, you know, illegal immigrants could roam free with no fear of deportation or the law. Well, hey, we can become sanctuary states for gun rights and for unborn babies. And, you know,
yeah.
What are they going to do about it? Our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, and James Madison, the primary author of the Constitution, both said that the rightful remedy for federal usurpations of power against the Constitution was a process called nullification. So we have governors, we have legislatures, we need to work with them to make sure that we are prepared for total resistance against illegitimate usurpation of power. And you know, I'll say one more thing on this, Jim. In the last couple months, God has opened doors. I've preached sermons at several churches just in the last few months about Romans 13 and government and the purpose of government and our duty to submit. Christians are, of course, obligated to submit to the government, but there are some very important practical things that we need to consider. Our duty to submit is not unlimited. It never has been. God never intended that. You know, God says in the Bible that children should submit to their parents in all things.
Mm-hmm.
But no Christian would seriously argue that if I tell my son to rob a bank or commit a murder, or if I tell my daughter to go dance at a strip club, that my children should obey me, right? God gave me authority to do what's right. So if the government orders you to kill babies or surrender your firearms or quit going to church, you know, you have a duty to say no. As they said in Act 5, it is better to obey God than men.
Yeah.
And we need to really think about these things and pray about these things, because there's a chance we could be moving into a whole new era in American history where, you know, Christians would become persecuted. And I think Biden has made very clear that that is his objective.
Indeed, he has. Folks, our phone lines are open, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Alex Newman, our guest today. And Joe Biden has made no bones about it. I mean, when it comes to the passage of the Equality Act, he wants to do that within his first 100 days. I mean, the criminalization of Christianity is all encompassed in this so-called Equality Act. There are no exemptions for churches or religious thought in any of the plans. Just today, I downloaded from the Human Rights Campaign a book, I mean, a booklet that is just loaded page after page after page of their demands, their suggestions to the incoming Biden administration about advancing so-called equality across this land. Lord willing, on Wednesday next week, Peter LaBarber from Americans for Truth will be joining us. We're going to delve into that and other related issues, even with the Equality Act and some of the matters that are taking place. But, folks, what Alex is saying is sincere, and need to take into account these matters and, again, bathe these issues in prayer. Let's go to the phone line. Susan in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. We have to ask for a canvas, too, of every vote. what makes a good canvas? How would you explain that? And then as far as the audit, what is an audit of every system? How do you say that? And then what is the number for the Wisconsin legislature? I can't find it anywhere.
Okay. Let me just give you that first, the hotline to the Wisconsin legislature, 800.
Wait a second. I can't.
Okay. Well, I'll give it over the air. You can go back and listen to it. 800-362-9472. That's 800-362-9472. That's Wisconsin legislative hotline. Alex, what about this audit that she asked about? What is that, that process?
Yeah, well, there's several things that need to happen on this, but as you pointed out, Jim, there's a very real chance that this might not all be sorted out before the states have to send their slate of electors for the Electoral College votes by December 14th. And so, what needs to happen with this, I think, is, first of all the votes need to be recounted manually. The ballots need to be checked to make sure they're valid. Are they actually signed by the person who supposedly submitted them? We need to do everything we can to verify the authenticity of ballots. We need to investigate all these Trump ballots that even in states like Oklahoma, they found huge amounts of Trump ballots and only Trump ballots in trash cans.
They
found military ballots in dumpsters in Georgia. All this needs to be investigated, but the forensic audits of the computer programs and the machines that I'm talking about, these computers operate on computer programs, and so the code, the architecture of these systems needs to be completely dissected, taken apart piece by piece so that we can understand exactly what each line of code does, how it works, and if it was possible to rig it. I'm absolutely convinced that it was, but we need the proof. But again, this might not be possible in the short window of time that we have before the December 14th votes in the Electoral College. I would say a lot of that can be done by the Trump administration and the authorities. I think as citizens, we need to stay on top of that. But, we do need to make sure that this is properly investigated, that criminals are prosecuted. And I think a big part of this, too, will be standard investigative techniques. I mean, we need to offer people immunity who are willing to tell us the truth about what happened, about what they were ordered to do, who paid them, when they were ordered to do it. We've got all these different tools at the disposal of law enforcement and the judicial system. They need to be used so that perpetrators can be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a very long process.
You can pray that whistleblowers come forth and share what they were commanded to do.
Amen.
Let's go to Holly next. Hi, Holly. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi. I was... this is obviously heavy on everybody's hearts right now, and I've been thinking a lot lately how we can prepare for this, because I think, just like Alex said earlier, we are a lot deeper into this than people realize. There's a lot more going on
mm-hmm.
than even we can see right now. And so, we prepare as the Bible has told us to, but I think, while we have the time, we should be contacting our congressmen and things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
What questions or what should we be asking them to do specifically? Calling for an audit or a recount.
Okay.
What can we do to put it on them and make sure that they're properly telling the people what they need to be doing as well?
Okay, great question. And just as you asked that, theme music is coming up here. So right after the break, we're going to have Alex respond to that. I'm on my phone with my congressman or with my legislator. What could I be asking them at this time? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Last Wednesday, after the election, we interviewed retired three-star general, General McInerney. Also, we interviewed author and researcher Mary Fanning. What we learned about was the hammer, the scorecard. We were the first national network of affiliate stations to broadcast this. What we learned is that in 2003, a piece of software was developed on the military side by Dennis Montgomery to keep America safe and to surveil our enemies. But reportedly in 2009, the Obama administration took this software and began to utilize it as a political tool for blackmail and to gain information on, lots of people, including elected officials and members of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it could also be used to turn an election. Full details with articles at worldviewtimes.com.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Check out articles at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, and more coming forth on this very issue as well. Alex, the caller here before the break said, you know, what do I say? Okay, in as few sentences as possible, I'm on the phone with my legislator. What can I say to them to get this message out?
Yeah, thank you so much for the caller. Brilliant question, and gives us an opportunity to address some important things. So it depends a lot on who you're talking to. If you're talking to a Republican legislator in one of these states, if you're in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, or any one of these crucial states that were so obviously stolen by vote fraud, I think the most important thing to talk to them about right now is how and when and where and what do you need to make it possible to send Trump delegates to the Electoral College. I think the vote fraud has now been established beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence is everywhere. It was in our face. Like, they didn't even care. Now we need to make sure that their fraudulent slate of electors does not get to go to the Electoral College. If you're in a state where there was obviously voter fraud, but Trump won anyway, or it's really not important, you know, in that case, you might want to ask something different. You might want to ask them to, Jim and I were just talking over the break, set up an investigative committee, give them subpoena power, give them power to compel people to come in and testify, put them under oath where they're going to be charged with perjury if they lie, and let's start finding out the truth. I think the election fraud was all over the country, including in solid red states, Oklahoma, even in Florida. I think we had large amounts of voter fraud. I know Trump won that state. I still think that, you know, we actually had somebody testify a few years ago in our legislature in Florida under oath that they were hired to write computer code that would rig the election using these computer systems. This man testified under oath that he was hired to do it. So we need elections in all 50 states to get to the bottom of this, to hold the perpetrators accountable. Now, when it comes to Congress, you know, there's a whole lot that we could talk to them about, but as it relates to the election, I would say, you know, what are we going to do to investigate this? I think Congress, both houses of Congress, the House and the Senate, need to form investigative committees with subpoena power to find out every little detail. Now, elections are typically a state function. They're run by state governments, and, you know, we don't want the federal government to usurp that. It's one of the things that makes it harder to rig the elections, and so that's good. But there is a role for Congress to do oversight, to investigate, to see what's going on. And beyond that, you know, I think if you have your member of Congress on the phone, if you have a relationship with them, and you should try to develop one, if you're in their office with some of your friends or your associates or members of your church, talk to them about their oath of office. These people put their hands on the Bible, and they swear they're going to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's their job description. And yet they get to Washington, D.C., and many of them, we actually put together a report card at the New American, they flagrantly violate that oath as if they had never taken it. We need to work with them and with the electorate back in their districts to make sure that that stops. You know, the Constitution means what it says. Their powers are limited. Article 1, you know, it describes the power of Congress. If they're acting outside of that authority, we need to be gently but firmly encouraging them to please respect their oath, respect their job description, respect the mandate and the powers that were delegated to them, and not go beyond that. It's critical.
Let's go to Jill next. Jill, you're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, I thought it was just quite interesting. I've been listening to you guys for a while, and of course your guest was talking about censorship and all, and I have gotten censored, obviously, on Facebook, but my Alexa would not let me tune into you guys today, and I tried several times.
Wow.
And so I just brought out the good old-fashioned radio and the antenna and got you in no problem, and I noticed the other day I just thought maybe it was a glitch. It just kept turning off every day on Brennan Howes and on you guys, so I don't know if any other caller has complained about that issue, but I just experienced it, and I just thought that it was a little bit surreal and unreal.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you for raising that issue. Appreciate it. Let's go to Julie next. You're on the air, Julie.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about, you know, with all of the talk that is about Biden and the illegal acts that he's done with the laptop and all, why isn't he prosecuted, arrested, and put in jail? What is protecting him from that? And then will anyone go to jail for all of the fraud that's going on in the election?
Thank you, Julie. Alex.
Thank you so much for that question. It's hugely important. I think what is protecting him is the swamp. I actually have been skeptical of Attorney General William Barr from the beginning. He has many, many connections and ties to the swamp. He talks beautifully. He nails the issues when he speaks publicly. But how many of these people who we know have been committing crimes? We've got smoking gun evidence in many cases of these crimes, not just of Hunter Biden, but going back to the Obama administration. Nobody's being prosecuted. Peter Stork and Lisa Page, I mean, all these people who were caught red-handed spying on the incoming administration, they're all still running around. They're signing book deals. So I think we have a major problem with the swamp in Washington, D.C. The FBI and the DOJ are both firmly under the control, unfortunately, of people who are not interested in holding these perpetrators accountable. And I hope in the second Trump term, assuming we get one, that some real progress will be made on reversing that. But, you know, right now it's a shame. So
we've got, is it bail?
Yes, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just want to say that in 2016, when President Donald Trump got into office, we all said and believed that it was the will of God, because it is God that sets up leaders and gives people authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing we saw in the Bible. When Saul disobeyed God and went out of God's will, God decided to remove him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe God is doing the same thing today. I pray for President Donald Trump every day.
Yeah.
I pray for the salvation of his soul. But we need to stop trying to do God's work for him. We need to rely on God for what we need to do. And we need to stop trying to do what God wants, God's work.
Yeah, and thank you, Bayo. And we're down to 30 seconds, and so I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll have Alex comment. But certainly prayer is the foundation. We want God's will to be accomplished. But Alex, there is, as we do pray that, as we are salt and as we are light, we have responsibility to occupy as well.
We absolutely do. And, you know, and I'm not accusing the caller of this, but in Nazi Germany, many churches said, well, you know, Hitler's in power, therefore it must be God's will. We just need to cooperate. And, you know, I think that's borderline heretical. You know, God has given us clear instructions. We are citizens of heaven, and we are also, at this time, citizens of the United States. We have a role as citizens. We know what God's will is, and so we need to do our duty to resist evil, to expose evil, to reprove evil, and to stand for what is right, including in the political sphere.
Alex Newman, our guest. You can read articles at thenewamerican.com. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And friends, vital information on the broadcast today. As Alex suggested earlier, send a link to this broadcast, crosstalkamerica.com. You'll find it there. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.